Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 4th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 7, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Lisa N., Sherry M., and Becca R. Also reading the 12 steps will be Wendy M. and the Traditions, Alex K. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Wendy M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M. recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Jody, for your service today. Wonderful. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters, and they practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Jody. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K., for your service. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 7, paragraph 2. I will now ask Lisa N. to begin reading.
Thank you so much, moderator. Good morning, everyone. And I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin. I'm only doing this service by God's grace and mercy, and recovered today only because of that mercy. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. And surely, when I did finally get the answer, it had nothing to do with self-knowledge. So when I came to the rooms of OA, it was 13 years ago, and we did not have the phone meetings, not that I'm aware of. I was not aware of phone meetings. There was no such thing as Zoom at that time. So I actually went in face-to-face. And I really didn't want to be there, but as it says, I had a desperate desire to stop. And so I was desperate enough to go in those rooms where I did not want to go. And the reason I went in there was because a psychic told me that I should go to OA. And it had been the third or fourth, who knows how many times, my higher power had led me to hear those words. I heard it the first time from my brother's girlfriend who went, and I thought she was another. And when she said she was going to OA, and she was not smiling. She was grinning. She was sparkling. And I thought that was so weird because it sounded like Alcoholics Anonymous to me, and I knew all about alcoholics, or so I thought. And so anyway, when I went in there, I really didn't want to, but I had been told, go to OA. And I heard on a radio 2 weeks in a row at my job, if you're having trouble with food, go to OA and we'll help you love yourself until you can love yourself. Or I can't remember the exact words, but I remember thinking, oh, I did not want to hear that commercial. So anyway, when I went into OA that first night, oh, I didn't want to be there. And for 2 years, I sat in those rooms periodically when I felt like it, if I had time, and I would go there and I would listen to people talk and not really absorb what they were saying because I was thinking my own thoughts, quite honestly. And I was thinking, oh, they don't know, and I'm so much more spiritual than them. And because I was reading a lot of spiritual things at that time. And so anyway, it says here, for 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. That means prosperity and being sober, essentially. That's how it was explained to me by someone in our program. And it really wasn't that I was losing some weight. Yeah, I lost some weight. That was good. I thought that I was abstinent, but I really wasn't. And so what I had to find out at a point of desperation, thank you, what I had to find out was that I needed to depend on a higher power, and that was all I needed to do. That was my biggest job. That was my first thing to do. And thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin, for getting us started. I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this reading. We're on page 7.
Sorry.
Yeah, hold on just a moment. Page 7, paragraph 2. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share today?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Donna B.
Evan R.
Rachel R. Okay, we'll start with that group. Wendy M., Donna B., Evan R., and Rachel R. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Jody, for your service, everyone on the line, and the people we don't even know about that are making it happen. So thank you, God, for that. And I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So I'll say a few things about this. I just love the word relief, because as an addict, I want some, you know. And before getting recovered, I was seeking relief in everything and anything, just like Bill. You know, and I love this. What this reminds me of is control. Like, control is a big part of my disease. Controlling my thoughts, controlling your thoughts, controlling behavior, it doesn't really matter as long as I can control it. And understanding myself now is a form of control, right? And self-knowledge, a form of control. And, that's just a big part of, in other words, surrender is the answer. And control, self-knowledge is not. And I also love this because, you know, the disease is in my voice, so it sounds right, right? So I can justify anything. I can justify understanding this program. I can justify understanding the 12 steps, understanding my sponsor. It really doesn't matter. It's in my voice, so it sounds right, so I'm going to go with it until I don't, until it stops working, until self-knowledge finally stops working. When it comes to combating liquor, we're weakened, but we're strong in other respects. I kind of smile at that one. Yes, in some respects in my life, I'm good to go. You know, I, but But I have to say that, you know, the way I eat is the way I behave. The way I eat is how I treat people. The way I eat, right, is all of that. So I just wanted to say that. But, you know, and then I've heard, like, you can't be too dumb for this program. I hope that doesn't offend people. But you can be too smart for this program. I was talking to a prospective sponsee yesterday, you know, and you know, she sort of kept seeking self-knowledge. And I understand that. I was the same way. We want to understand stuff. But you can be too smart for this program, right? If I'm too smart, if I have too much knowledge, I'm going to think that that is the answer, and I'm not going to be able to get with this program, which is just God. It has nothing to do with me. So when we try to figure out, manage, fix, control, I know for me, I get in trouble very quickly because it just lands me in a whole bunch of me. And this program is less of me, more of you, less of me, more of God. Thanks for letting me share it. We don't hear you, Jody.
Thank you, Wendy. I was muted. Thank you, Wendy, for your share. Donna, it's your turn.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, exercise bulimic, and binge purge bulimic in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of sponsees over the years. And I think that going through the doctor's opinion is so exciting and so illuminating. And learning the information about the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind is groundbreaking and awe-inspiring and creates so much hope because it tells me and it tells others what the nature of the disease is and where the solution lies. And it saddens me so much when sponsees get so excited about that knowledge and they get it, right? They've got 30 days of abstinence. They've got 60 days of abstinence, and they're counting the days, and it's just, and I am in the background imploring them to please keep working the steps. And people get stalled out in all different kinds of places. And I just keep saying, you know, based on my personal experience, strength, and hope, and that of others, I know that no matter if I memorized the entire doctor's opinion and dictated it out loud every morning and every night, it would not be sufficient to keep me abstinent. That knowledge, although at the time and even today is amazing, is still not enough. I have to do the work. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Don B. from Colorado. Evan R., please share with us. Evan, press star 1 to unmute. Evan, are you still there? Perhaps not. Okay, I'll ask Rachel to share and I'll come back.
I made it back. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Evan.
Thank you. I apologize. Evan R. from Southern California. I had to share on this one. This is one of my favorite lines in the whole big book. Had a lot of power for me because I use dieting as a way to basically proclaim more of my lack of skills at dieting, that I had no willpower at all. And it became a kind of a spiral where it's, oh, I can't follow my diet, therefore I can't succeed at X, Y, Z, or anything else, really. But then the problem was I would seek control over the diets to seek control over my life, which we know is a death spiral. But basically, when I came to program and I surrendered that, you know, I had an obsession with food, and then only a higher power could take that from me, I started to realize that, you know, it's not that it wasn't my fault, it's just that in this realm of life, I'm completely powerless. But that doesn't mean I have no discipline in other areas. Perfect example being, you need discipline to show up to meetings. You need discipline to take the calls. And like it says, unfortunately, great desperation is what motivates us. And it's sad, but it's true. And that is probably the best motivator is and always will be. Because, you know, as I say, no one comes to OA on a winning streak. And I am at a point now where I don't have that, but I remind myself of that. And I come to the meetings and I hear people share not only their strengths, but also their struggles. And it kind of helps me stay humble in the sense that it's like, yes, I sure have willpower now, or so it seems. But ultimately, that's just a daily reprieve from praying to God and giving thanks and also being of service. And then the last piece is just self-knowledge. Like, I think everyone here could have like a master's degree in nutrition that didn't help us. And it's not that it never will. It's just that the foundation has to be surrender and God. That was the biggest change for me. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Evan. And Rachel R., where are you from, please?
Southern California.
Thank you, Rachel. Yeah. Go ahead.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. So I haven't shared on this meeting in quite a while, but I definitely need to be participating more because I did relapse recently, and thankfully I'm back off of that mini quick relapse, but I know from what I've heard that it can go on for years, so I'm just really grateful and thankful. So this paragraph, it relieved me somewhat to learn that alcoholic is the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor. So if a sin remains strong in other respects, and that is definitely me, I'm definitely strong in other respects, but when it comes to compulsive overeating, especially with the sugar and flour, now I'm finding like crispy foods, it's something that I don't have control over. I had great, you know, willpower to get myself through UCLA, but I ate my way to UCLA as well, you know. Food was my companion when studying and during finals and all of that stuff. And the plethora of food available on campus was just like being a kid in a candy store. I didn't know I was sick at the time. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. So when I started program, there was like weeks of abstinence and weeks of, you know, being free from the substances, but it was always a struggle. And I think it was definitely like, surely the self-knowledge was the answer. Like, okay, I just have to like will myself out of this. And my sponsors were not using the big book, and nothing's wrong with them. I'm so grateful and thankful to all of my sponsors. There's more than I can even count at this point. But the ones at the beginning, even though they weren't using the big book, I know that they were, you know, steps along the way to my path to abstinence. And it didn't really start clicking until the big book. Abstinence didn't start happening until the big book. I had 1,100 days of, like, you know, abstinence, no sugars, no flours, no, you know, and no compulsive eating behaviors to the best of my ability with God's guidance and support. And that was all my higher power. That was all the big book. That was all my fellows. That was all this meeting here with Vision. And the group hung high for, you know, 1,100 days. And I, you know, took advice from the wrong people, and I, you know, relapsed, and I have, this is a good lesson for me to know that I just listened to my nutritionist. If the food is quiet, which it was for a really long time, I said, I don't need to change things, and it's okay to check in, but, you know, my nutritionist is like, you've been steadily working towards a healthy body weight for the last 4 years. You've gone down, you're getting closer to your healthy body weight. And life was manageable for a long time. So this is a learning process, and every day I'm blessed with new knowledge, but not self-knowledge. It's my knowledge from my higher power. It's knowledge from the wisdom of other fellows. It's knowledge from being in meetings and listening to podcasts, making outreach calls, I don't do this alone. And when I do it alone, bad things go wrong. and that's another thing, reason why I'm sharing today, is because I haven't been sharing and I haven't been speaking out. And I know that that's part of, you know, I don't think it's in the tools or anything, but I know it's definitely part of my program. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel R. from California. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 7, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "It relieved me somewhat to learn." Who else would like to share?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Chanel T.
Chanel T.
My name's Phil. I'd like to share.
Was that Phil?
Yes.
As in Philip? Okay, great. Okay, let's go with that group. Deborah G., Chanel T., and Phil. Please go ahead, Deborah, and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your service and everyone's service that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And what came up here for me was where I would get this awakening, awake, you know, like awake from being unconscious with reality, awakening that, geez, you know, like that was saying, relieved, that alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, where I have no power. You know, I loved when I had that realization, I have no power with food, over food, or that time I was minimizing to just sugar or flour or something like that, just to not look at the whole thing, not ready to see the whole reality, just a little piece. And, you know, it gave some relief. But, you know, over a short time, I was already, again, unconscious and trying to tell myself the lie that I can do this now, I can do that now, and sometimes even doing the same thing I was doing before that a little piece of awakening I had, I would go back to that. And it was just, you know, the insanity of not being in reality. And it wasn't for a while did I ever get to that full reality, but just, I can relate so much about that. I'm so glad today, and my sponsor reminds me to stay alert, aware, awake, and alive, because that gave me the experience of the transformation that happened to me by going through those beautiful, beautiful 12 steps. Oh, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Chanel T., please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. Today I live in recovery purely by the grace of God. This paragraph is super powerful, and my incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go try to climb a mountain with ice skates. Right? Like, I'm not going to do things that actually help me with the fact that I'm powerless and that my life has become unmanageable. I'm going to try every which way to diet, to restrict, to compulsively exercise, to name it. My goodness, self-knowledge was not the answer for me. It was not. it was nice to hear in the rooms when I first came into OA, which I call mainstream OA, and no shade on that. I think you could have bathed me in big books, a tub full of big books, and I still wouldn't have gotten it. But in those days, I didn't know you could use the big book in this program when I first was in. And I just remember I was really trying to diet with y'all supporting me in that for free. That's really what I wanted. And so understanding myself now, I fared forth and I hope, oh yeah, I just need to follow the tools. I just need to work the tools. And okay, yeah, I'm powerless. Okay, no clue what that really meant. And my life has become unmanageable. Well, my weight is, right? So that's what that means. No, it's me. I'm the problem. The weight isn't the problem. It's me. It's what goes on between my ears and in my mind. And all the self-knowledge in the world, I could have degree after degree in everything about this disease if I wanted to. It wasn't going to solve my problem. It just wasn't going to. So what's amazing to me is how counterintuitive this program is. You know, in my weakness, my higher power is strong. In the fact that I surrender, the food voice is conquered a day at a time, sometimes a moment at a time, depending on the day. And it's just an incredible gig. It's an incredible gig for me because it's a new life. It's a new way of living. And it doesn't have anything to do with my self-knowledge. It also flies in the face of my self-knowledge. All of it's counterintuitive, but it does work. I really want to encourage newcomers, especially, or anyone returning, stay on this line, come every day. What a lifesaver this is. This program is a lifesaver for me. I am a changed person. I'm reborn one day at a time. And I thank you. That's all I have. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you so very much, Chanel T. from Washington. Go ahead, Phil, please. And where are you from? And the initial of your last name, please, Phil. Press star 1, Phil, to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, Phil J. from Maryland.
Go ahead, Phil J. Thank you.
I can relate a lot to this topic. I've been in OA for a little over 2 months now. Sober for a little over 2 months, and I'm still early on, and so definitely as I go about my day, you know, I have to, on a regular basis, get centered and connect with my higher power to try and remember and recognize the beck and call of, you know, self-knowledge. It's very tempting, and it feels very nice in the moment to tell yourself that now I know my condition. I know what's wrong with me. I can handle it. I just need to not do these things. But it's not just that, right? It's taking action, having faith. It's doing the work. Self-knowledge isn't enough. You know, I've learned that in other programs, and I'm trying to remember that as I go about the steps with my sponsor in this program. So, I don't have a ton to say about this other than that, just sort of to confess that this inkling does come up in me. You know, it is attractive to me to think that I have self-knowledge on this issue, but I continue to recognize and pray and talk to my higher power and identify this as a temptation and as a sort of alcoholic type thinking instead of recovery type thinking, and recognizing that I'd prefer to surrender and to do the work and do the program and to live free in the way that has been told me is available to me. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Phil J. from Maryland. All right. We have time for more sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day to ensure that others might experience this too. We are on page 7, the second full paragraph with "It relieved me somewhat to learn." Who else would like to share?
Shlomi Tana B.
Tana
Marilee
B.
W.
Marilee W.
Kathleen W.
Kathleen.
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Okay, wonderful. We'll start with that group. Hannah B., Marilee W., Kathleen W., and Sherry M. Please go ahead, Hannah.
Hi, this is Shlomit Hannah B. It's been a while since I've been on this meeting, but I'm appreciating hearing the shares. And I guess I have mixed feelings about this idea about self-knowledge. On the one hand, I actually have been gaining a lot of self-knowledge, and it has helped me a lot. It's actually helped me create systems that help me be more organized, and that helps me have my food in a better place. And it also helps me to know how the brain works. And so there's a part of me that's saying, well, you know, this has definitely helped me. But I think maybe where I find the bridge with the self-knowledge is, first of all, with the word, I guess for me, it's focusing on the word self. Maybe a little bit more than knowledge. Because when I'm focusing on self and I think that I can do all of this recovery work by myself, that's when I get into trouble. I cannot do this alone. First of all, I need the fellowship. And, you know, I've tried a lot of times, you know, to do this myself, and I can't. And most importantly for me personally, this is just a reminder that it really is about God and about following what God wants me to do and being in tune with God and in tune with myself, so that I can hear God's messages, be open to God's messages, be open to God's guidance, and not be completely in self. And that's always a struggle. But I guess that's really what I'm taking out of this paragraph is, for me, just kind of maybe a different definition of self-knowledge. And again, I'm actually saying this to myself more than anyone else, is just that focus on self, that focus on self. And to remember to try to keep the balance and to really put my recovery focus on God. Because when I put my recovery focus on God, I can't go wrong with that. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Shlomi Khanna B. Marilee W., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, if you'd like to.
My name is Marilee W., and I'm calling from Northwest Colorado in the States. This is a great reading, and it's really nice hearing everyone's experience to what people have said. I'm thinking about the goose hung high and how he's thinking that. Like, he's like, yeah, I got this. And so not only about the self-knowledge piece, but just watching the progression of Bill Wilson's disease with an alcoholism. And I came in to OA out of a couple different fellowships and was in the Big Book already. And none of that carried over. There was a relationship with God. There was some knowledge in the steps, and I can't deny that. And it did not help me with my food or my restriction or the facets of this disease. And so every day, you know, believing that things were okay, and if I just worked the steps harder in the other fellowships and all of this, and then turn to the natural food store, like a liquor store for an alcoholic, over and over again, going sometimes 3 or 4 times a day just to keep getting my alcoholic foods. And
Lee W., we can't hear you. No, still not.
Yes. Thank you, Dad.
I'm so sorry. Thank you very much. We heard most of up until now. We heard you. All right. Thank you, Mary Lee W., and please go ahead, Kathleen W. from... And where are you, Kathleen?
Hello, this is Kathleen W. from Illinois. So grateful for this meeting and for this reading. I just wanted to claim my seat, too, which I tried to do at least once a week so I can kind of stay in the middle of the herd, as they say. The thing that struck me in this paragraph was my incredible behavior in the face of desperate desire to stop was explaining, understanding myself now. It's like, again, like, there's not a whole lot I can add to what has already been said about this. My experience was also like this. I just have to do these things, and then I'm going to be all right. And, you know, I have come through other programs, too, to this program. As they say, it wasn't carried, you know, that stuff there wasn't carried over into this program. I couldn't stop my compulsive eating behavior as I had stopped my other behaviors that were compulsive. And it's been, and my experience has been completely different. I believe I came to this, I did come to this program as a result of those other programs and going through those programs and finding the spiritual help I needed. But in this program, it was different. And for me, it's been kind of a gradual experience, a gradual spiritual awakening. And it was like it says about the spiritual experience. For me, it was kind of an educational time, you know, kind. It did not happen all at once. It's been through years and years of coming, sitting, listening, and being willing and more willing and more willing. As I got a greater picture of my own inability to have, and powerlessness, it came upon me slowly through the years that I was not able to control this or manage this disease. But and I have come, you know, I had to go through the self-knowledge if I just do this. But now, even today, I think that sometimes, oh, if I just do these things, I'll be okay. And then I'm reminded, and I get on my knees and I say, God, it is only by your grace that I'm here. It's only a gift that I'm here. It's only a gift that I know what to do. It's only a gift that I know about these tools and use them. It is a gift of grace, not of my own works, but a gift of grace. And I do ask that I stay close to God to do his work well today. And with that, I'll just pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. And Sherry M., it's your turn.
Hey, good morning. Hi, this is Sherry M. I'm gratefully recovered today, a compulsive overeater living in Wyoming. Thank you, Jody, for your service. And this paragraph is everything for me. You know, I just was thinking, like, the more I know, the less I know. I was thinking about how the main problem that I have isn't centered in my mind. And if it's centered in my mind and that is the biggest problem I have, it means that any solution I have coming from my mind, like we think it's an Einstein quote, we can't solve the problem with the problem with the same source as where the problem was originated. So that was also coming to mind. You know, I just wanted to look up will, right? So like my will is weakened when it comes to this will, the faculty by which a person decides on and initiates action. It's that determination. It's the firmness of purpose. It's the power. It's the strength, you know, and my will is what led me to survive my life. I relied on my ability to figure things out. If it wasn't for my logical thinking and my being one step ahead of the game, I don't know that I would have survived because that's the environment that I grew up in. So for me, really surrendering all of my thoughts, that's what saved me, has been the hardest thing. And, you know, here's what I know is that, have you ever known about this disease like me? I've known, people have told me, you're bodily and mentally different. My experience had even shown me for years, I have 100% batting average, that once I put my hand in a bag of skinny popcorn, I cannot not take another handful. Once I have this substance, I cannot stop from eating another substance. But yet, having all of that knowledge, and being in program, by the way, being in program and working the steps ad infinitum and creating this, what I call a spiritual resume of being in multiple programs with all the steps and all of this, and then put a little plate of my two favorite items, and I'll tell you how I know that my mind is not going to help me. Have you ever said, don't eat it, don't eat it? And then you watch your hand picking up the very substance that you know is going to kill you, and you're in tears, crying like me. And I'm crying as I'm eating it. And it's so making me sick. And I cannot stop from killing myself with food. That's what I have learned is the problem with my mind. It is not reliable. I have amnesia, delusion, illusion, minimization. And the mind is what has kept me sick. And so what I know today is that if it's not transmitted, if the solution is not transmitted from my head to my heart, and then as my sponsor always tells me, let's try to get it from your heart to your feet. Let's try to get it really in there. You know, and that hole inside of me is where God resides, trying to, you know, forget about my head. It's really about my heart, and aligning my will, using my will, align my will with God's and saying, God, take my entire life and do whatever you want with it. I am no longer going to be involved in any decisions having to do with my life, any area of it, starting with being entirely abstinent. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I'm grateful for all of you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. That was perfect timing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry M. read our closing?
Well, I begin to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
I'm waiting for the recording to start.